Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 233. Just a reminder, Guardians of the MCU is part of the Random Chatter Network. Please do check us out at randomchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, and show merchandise from TeePublic. I had to take a breath there. It didn't work. I'm Tim. Joining me tonight, I have both Elizabeth, who is hopefully returning as a regular. Hi, Lizzie.
I'm working on it. And also, I think that that was your audition to be an auctioneer, as I keep mentioning.
Maybe. Who knows? Maybe it's a new line of work for me. We also have Sheba with us tonight. Hi, Sheba.
Hello. How is everyone doing?
Sheba.
Doing well here. Doing well. Sheba, yay. You are you're actually the star of our show this episode. We're doing a profile on Gore the God Butcher, who we know is going to be in Thor Love and Thunder, which is scheduled to come out on July 8th of this year. Mm-hmm. So with that, unless we have anything else, and I don't think we do, there was like no breaking news in the last 2.5 minutes since the end of the previous episode of Guardians that we recorded and this one. So, Sheba. Gore the God Butcher. Take it away.
All right. Well, good evening, everyone. I'm going to read an excerpt, read an excerpt from Asgardian history. I'm going to read it with an accent because history is more fun with an accent. At least that's what I thought when I was in here. So that's what we're going to do. All right. Let me take a look here. All right, here we are. Today on Asgardian History, we are going to talk about the infamous Gore the God Butcher. Who is he? What has he done? How does he relate to Thor? Sit back and listen to the tale of this interesting character. Gore was born on a planet with no name. That was also on the brink of starvation. As with many people all over the universe, Gore was told to trust in the gods. Unfortunately, he felt as though the gods did not listen to his prayers. Poor Gore dealt with much suffering during his lifetime. He lost his parents at an early age and was required to fend for himself on his harsh planet. Many years later, he married, but eventually his wife, who had been pregnant, also ended up dying as well due to the earthquake on the planet. Before her death, he had fathered many children, but they too perished as a result of the harsh environment on the planet. The one son that remained, Agar, ended up dying also due to starvation. But before his death, Gore had told him that he reached a forest where they would never be hungry again. He did this as a way to end his son's suffering. Unfortunately, there was no forest, and his son passed without knowing the truth. The death of his son Agar is what pushed Gore to no longer believe in the gods, and he expressed his opinions quite forcefully. This did not sit well with the rest of his people, though, so he was exiled for his beliefs. As he wandered through the desert praying to die, Gore saw a couple of gods battling. One was a dark elder god called Null, and a gold-armored, purple-skinned god, not to be confused with Thanos. They appeared out of the sky and landed nearby. This made him realize that gods existed. However, he was upset when the gold-armored god asked for his help. Suddenly, the dark god's sword bonded to Gore and turned him into an amorphous mass of living darkness. He used his weapon, called the All-Black Necro Sword, to kill the gold-armored god and then vowed to kill all the gods because they never answered his prayers when he was on his planet. Gore despised any god and traveled all over the cosmos for many years to kill as many gods as he could. His list of victims are extensive and include gods of fear, war, chaos, genocide, revenge, plagues, earthquakes, blood, wrath, jealousy, death, degradation, and a few of poetry and flowers. During the ninth century,
he had a like he was going pretty well there. But he then, he you know, killing off the god of poetry and the god of flowers, like that's kind of, I mean,
the god of flowers.
I'm a seasonal allergy sufferer and I still wouldn't even want that. So, boy, I don't know. Okay. I mean,
poetry and flowers are pretty things, but apparently Gore does not discriminate in the gods that he kills.
I guess so.
Okay.
Yep. He is equal opportunist of killing all gods, apparently. During the ninth century, Gore arrived on Earth and killed a god from the Americas, and the body washed up on the Icelandic shores and was found by none other than Thor. Following this discovery, Thor also found some Slavic gods dead while he was accompanying a Viking raiding party to Russia. Thor then came across Gore when he attacked him and almost killed him, but Thor used a lightning strike that knocked them both out. Gore managed to recover and escape to a cave, where he fought Thor again. He then attempted to torture Thor for 17 days for the location of Asgard, but Thor held out long enough for the Viking worshippers to find him and distract Gore. Gore believed that he had killed Thor, but while he was distracted, Thor was able to recover and cut off Gore's right arm. He was all left after that, not all right.
Ha-ha.
Gore did survive, however, and for 1,000 years, he butchered more and more gods. During this time, he became stronger and grew an army of dark minions who assisted him on his mission. Centuries later, Thor again became aware of Gore's actions and hunted him down. When a prayer summoned him to a world without gods, Thor recognized that this was the work of Gore when he found the world's deities had been slaughtered. Thor went to the cave where they had previously fought to search for him. While he was doing so, Gore attacked Cronux, which allowed him to lay claim to the Pool of Forevers and use the blood of the time gods to traverse the time stream. He then went back to the beginning of the universe and killed one of the very first elder gods and took the infant deity's heart as a trophy. Gore then traveled to Earth, 14412, and took over a desolate world, which became his base of operations and enslaving all of the gods he could capture, except for All Father Thor. Gore used the enslaved gods to mine broken planets so he could create the God Bomb, which he would use to destroy all gods across all the time streams.
Interesting.
He also created versions of his wife and son from the all-black symbiote. But what he didn't realize was that his son embodied his subconscious self-loathing. At some point, Thor the Avenger from Earth 616 arrived, which made Gore send black berserkers into the past to get the first Thor he met around 800 AD. Very confusing stuff. And brought him back to the future.
But what's interesting here is that the Gore is building this God Bomb to kill gods across multiple timelines.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this happening while we have this multiverse thing happening with within the MCU. So I'm wondering if this is a story that they're going to use in Love and Thunder.
This is interesting. Especially since we had talked in the last episode how Doctor Strange is going to be an anchor, it would make sense that he might show up there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wonder if it ends up being a multiverse thing that they bring Jane Foster in as Thor instead of, I think we all just kind of assumed that it was going to be the 616 Jane Foster, but maybe not. Maybe it's going to be the Jane Foster from another part of the multiverse who is Thor, and they all come together to fight Gore. Interesting. Okay.
So he brought him back to the future where he too was enslaved. This young Thor tried to destroy the God Bomb using a piece of a star, but ended up being catapulted off the planet. While being catapulted off the planet, he met Thor the Avenger and King Thor. All three Thors decided to get together to take down Gore and almost succeeded But because Gore had absorbed power from all the gods he had killed, he was far too powerful and instead defeated the three Thors and left them for dead. They didn't die, they were just left for dead. Hmm. He then went on to activate the God Bomb. It was around this time that he recreated wife, sorry, called him a god. The listener, or if you are listening, or the readers, sorry, recalls how Gore feels about gods, so he angrily killed her because he did not want to be referred to as a god. His recreated son, Agar, however, decided to help Thor, the Avenger, to defeat the God Butcher because he did not like what his father had become. Thor used Agar's prayers, in addition to all the gods that had survived across space and time, to absorb the God Bomb's blast, as well as the Necrosword. Thor was able to weaken Gore with the help of Agar to eventually kill Gore. Now, dear reader, this was the story of Gore the God Butcher. Though he has passed, Gore still managed to affect Thor of Earth 616. It was because of Gore's beliefs that Thor became unworthy and was unable to lift Mjolnir at some point. He was again resurrected, interestingly enough, by King Loki. But to keep this tale to an acceptable length, he was eventually also defeated by both Thor and King Loki, who I guess changed his mind, who helped to distract Gore by telling all of the mighty Thor's great deeds and releasing the power of God of Tempest from Mjolnir and destroying the all-black symbiote. This made Gore mortal, not a mentally capable mortal, of course, and he was taken in by the Sky Lords of Indigar to live out his days in peace. As you can surmise, dear readers, the book continues, Gore the God Butcher was a very powerful creature who could combat gods with ease with many different weapons. Though he had no superhuman abilities, he was a master torturer and has claimed to even have tortured the god of torture. He was also, I know, the irony there. He was also not very strong without the all-black the Necrosword, but when he has it, he was able to rival the strength of Thor or even surpass it. Gore the God Butcher is someone who has who caused much pain to the gods of the universe and different timelines. But we are grateful he is no longer around to cause havoc, not only to the Asgardians, but to the gods of all the realms. And that is all that we have here listed about Gore the God Butcher. But as you can tell, he is very, very powerful, very kind of scary. And yeah, that was all the information that I could find in Asgardian history.
Very cool.
Very good telling of the history.
Why,
so
thank you.
I admit to going into this knowing like nothing at all mm-hmm. about Gore the God Butcher, except just kind of a very cursory, you know, when it was first mentioned that he was going to be in Thor Love and Thunder, I think mm-hmm. I did a very, very quick look up so I could talk about him in 30 seconds on Guardians. But yeah, I've really known nothing at all about the character. So this was good. And I didn't have even any thoughts or ideas as to what the story of Thor Love and Thunder would be. Now this suddenly gives my brain like, you know, two or three different story ideas. But like I said, I see how they could be bringing Jane in, you know, instead of using a 616 Jane Foster, hopefully they find a better Jane Foster. Going to be the same actress, but hopefully a better Jane Foster.
Hopefully they write her better.
Yeah. We're going to have, this gives reason for Valkyrie to be in it, who is the king of Asgard right now, in Earth 616. I mean, hell, you mentioned King Loki, and I really got it. I mean, it would be a surprise, but it also kind of wouldn't if somehow a version of Loki ended up in this. Not Tom Hiddleston. Maybe we see a Loki from another part of the multiverse. I mean, there's so many possibilities. I never even considered that this would be a multiverse centered movie, mm-hmm. but now it's yeah. like, oh wow, yeah, duh.
Yeah, I know. Honestly,
I don't know.
I knew nothing about it either, and I was like, all right, well, we'll look up and see what it is. But it's really cool that, I mean, he sounds terrifying, which is kind of going to be interesting to have him as a character. I hope they don't just kill him off right away because I feel like he could. I mean, I don't know if they are continuing doing more Thor movies, mm-hmm. but I feel like he's still somebody that could be a problem for future MCU characters, which I don't know. It would be interesting to see. But yeah, I'm definitely excited to see how they're going to work this in or work him into it. Yeah. I know how much Christian Bale gets involved in the characters he's portraying. And we have, like, we saw him in Batman playing a hero. We've seen him as like an American Psycho and playing kind of a, you know, a mentally crazy serial killer. Crazy is not the right word. For lack of a better word, not mentally sane person. And it would just be interesting to see how he takes on this character.
Yeah, I agree. Lizzie, any thoughts on Gore the God Butcher and subsequently how this might how we can use some of this comic book lore to inform us of possible MCU storylines?
Yeah, no, totally. I'm into it. Yeah. I'm into it.
That's what you got. You're into it.
Please finish your glass of wine, okay? So that's all you're
doing. No, that's fair. That's if fair. You know
it, I'd love to see a trailer. Where is it? Give it to me.
Right. Yeah. I really want to see a trailer just to kind of have a tease of what they may bring into it. I mean, do you think that they might bring in Beta Ray Bill finally? Like, I mean, we saw him a part of his face on what's it called, Ragnarok, during Ragnarok. Would they bring him in to the MCU? I mean, we haven't heard anything.
I would love if they would. I mean, he is, you know, he's a favorite version of Thor. Mm-hmm. I think it's absolutely possible for them to do so. You know, we've not seen any trailers. They've not gone into, you know, any measure of detail. So I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they do bring him in, which would be cool because they can then also use Beta Ray Bill to kind of continue the story of Thor, because I have to imagine that Chris Hemsworth probably isn't going to be hanging out for too much longer. I have to think that. I don't think that Natalie Portman is going to be continuing to play the character of Thor in any other films. I think them bringing in a Beta Ray could be good. What's that, Lizzie?
She'd sign up if it was good writing.
Agreed. Yeah. The only reason she left the first time was because she didn't like where the character was going and how they were writing her. And I would totally like to see more Jane Foster Thor. Like I'd sign up for that.
Taika directed Jane Foster Thor, because I think that's where it's really going to make it interesting. I think Christian Bale he's Christian Bale, so the end. But also, I didn't realize that they had casted Melissa McCarthy as actor Hela. Did you already talk about this? And
No.
It's on the awesome. Can you imagine? That's the best.
We have Matt Damon coming back, and then we get Melissa McCarthy. I'm all on board. Like, this is going to be the best.
And Samuel is Odin, and Melissa McCarthy is the Hela actor. Stop it.
Really?
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
That's interesting. This is on IMDb?
It is on IMDb. I only go for IMDb when I look at casting information, because it's the only accurate source.
That's pretty wild. I didn't know that. That's interesting. So clearly we're going to get a multiverse Hela as well.
No, we're gonna get the play, the play that we saw with Matt Damon doing the play.
Oh, in a play. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, that's still funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's gonna be
the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
We're gonna have, so it's gonna be, I'm hoping it's gonna be an epic movie, but then we're also gonna have an epic play scene in the movie. Like, this is gonna be like, just, it's gonna be a lot of exciting stuff.
I'm looking at dates here to see when we might get our first trailer for Love and Thunder. And, you know, Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness comes out May 6th. That's about 2 months ahead of Thor Love and Thunder. I think that's too late for us to get one. But even though it's a Sony production, I mean, trailers can go in front of any studio stuff. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense because you have basically the same audience, or at least a significant overlap, is going to be for in front of Morbius, which releases on April 1. And mm-hmm. so that's about 3 months, and that's about right. That's about they may put out a teaser for the trailer, which I would kind of expect. And if they do, obviously that's going to be sometime this month. It kind of seems to me that that's where it's going to be. We may also get around then the final trailer, or at least the final significant trailer for Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe it would be like, I wonder if they're going to do the same thing like they did for No Way Home, just tack on at the end of Doctor Strange, like Multiverse of Madness, tack on kind of like an extended trailer for Love and Thunder. Although mm-hmm. I kind of wish that they don't, because I like having the end credit scene being end credit scenes.
I'm like,
that's great, but we're gonna watch this later anyway. So that was, you know, kind of a waste of an end credit for me.
I don't think that they would do it for Morbius because it is a Sony production, and even though there clearly is some crossover, you know, they're bringing Vulture into Morbius and all that. I don't think that they are going to use their own mid or post credit scene to push something that is not their studio's production.
You can say they definitely aren't going to.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not going to happen. We certainly could have something about that as a mid or post credit scene in Multiverse of Madness, considering that that is 2 months ahead of Thor Love and Thunder. And I'm hoping that it is not a trailer, like you said, Sheba, because I agree. I thought to do a trailer as an end credit scene really was a waste. While it was still exciting to see the footage, it wasn't an end credit scene because it was a trailer, and trailers don't belong as end credit scenes. But we may actually get a mid or end credit scene, a real one that does lead us into Thor Love and Thunder. Like, you know, watching Gore the God Butcher step through some sort of interdimensional portal,
which would be interesting, because in the first Doctor Strange, we had a little bit of Doctor Strange and Thor talking to each other that was supposed to be for Thor Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. If you remember, one of the end credits was Doctor Strange talking to Thor while he was looking for Loki.
Oh, yeah,
And Odin and stuff. Or sorry, while they were looking for Odin. It would be kind of a funny full circle type moment, because then we have Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness with another Thor related movie with part of a scene in it, which would be, you know, kind of funny.
I actually think that would be really good. I like that idea. I like that idea. All right. Well, Sheba, thank you very much for putting this together. This was truly interesting. Like I said, I really didn't know anything about Gore going into this, and this actually gets me more excited about Love and Thunder, like story-wise, mm-hmm. because I just had no concept of what the story might be.
You guys, Gore rhymes with Thor.
Gore does rhyme with Thor.
It was really hard to read this sometimes, because I'd be like, Gore, Thor, God. Oh, God, what am I trying to read right now?
I almost did say Thor Gore. Yeah.
It's like they were like a love, like it was a love child between God and Thor. Gore. Yeah.
But we do have, some benchmark things happening. We've got Moon Knight coming out the end of this month. We do have Morbius, although, not strictly MCU, but still seemingly within the MCU. If that is a 616 Vulture that we have in there, that comes out April 1. We have Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness coming out May 6th. We have She-Hulk scheduled for like May or June, somewhere in that period of time. And then we have Love and Thunder scheduled for July 8th. So lots of stuff over the next few months. It's going to be a really, really exciting spring going into summer. I'm excited about all the content. Same. So that's that. So yeah, Sheba, thank you again. Listeners, thank you again. Elizabeth, thanks for coming back. We're going to have more. We're going to have way more Lizzie.
Yay.
All Lizzie all the time.
Lizzie all the time? I don't know about that, but I'm working on it.
Yay.
All right, folks. Do take care and catch us next week on Guardians of the MCU for more news and discussion on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Take care.